Good morning and welcome to Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church with Senior Pastor Danny Binney. We're excited that you're joining us this morning, and we would love it if you could come and be a part of our morning worship and Bible study at the church on Old River. To find out our service times, you can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
I invite you to open your Bibles with me to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29. When my two boys got old enough to be a lot of help, well, I quite often would say, "Boys, let's do this, let's do that." Until one day, my youngest son, Mark, raise your hand, no, said, "Dad, how come every time you say, let's do something, it's always me and Jeff doing all the work?" I said, "Son, that's because you simply don't understand the definition of let's." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "When I say let's do something, that means I'm going to let you do it." Several months ago, in staff meeting, I said to my staff, I said, "Staff, let's do Easter as we've never done it before." And I want to share with you that Brother Ronnie, Brother Cody, Brother Joe, Amanda have worked in ways and in hours that you can't imagine to make this one of the most exciting Easter services that we have ever had. We today have experienced things that we have never experienced before. We had a wonderful crowd in the first service. We have a wonderful crowd now. You know, you may be thinking, "Yeah, Brother Danny, I see some empty seats." Yeah. That's because we also had two other venues going today, something we've never done before. Instead of just being the church gathered today, we were also a sending church. And at White's Park in the middle of our county, we had a group of people there. We had 150 people that met there for worship today in a sending way. Won't you give the Lord a praise offering for that? In addition to that, Brother Ronnie and Brother Cody went out to the Showbiz Theater, and they almost filled up one of those theaters. They had over 170 people there at the theater this morning. So 325 people off campus, 323 people, something like that. Ministerially speaking, about 1,000 and off campus this morning as our church became a sending church. Amazing thing. And you know why we do this? Look at Jeremiah 29, verse 11. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." So focus on that verse of scripture as you think about how good God is. It was in Bethlehem. And it was a night that seemed like any other night. And angels appeared to some shepherds and told them that, "Behold, this day in the city of David is born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And they went there. And there in that stable in Bethlehem, they found this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger, who would become the Savior of the world. It was in Bethlehem that the lambs were taken, because it was in Bethlehem that the best of grasses were there to be able to feed and raise the livestock and raise the lambs. And so it was from Bethlehem that the lambs would be taken to the temple for the temple sacrifices. And so we shouldn't find it unusual, but the fulfilling of prophecy and the part of God's divine plan, that the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world would be born in Bethlehem and come from Bethlehem. And that same Jesus, after he was tempted of the devil, went out and was successful over him, went out preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And the Bible tells us that Jesus healed the sick, raised the dead, made the blind to see and the lame to walk. He walked on water and he taught as no man had ever taught before, and crowds gathered around him as no one had ever gathered around someone before. And his popularity was gaining so that the people, the Pharisees, couldn't stand it. And so they began to plot against our Jesus. And one day they took our Jesus and they hung him up. You know why? Because God knows, or he knows the thoughts that he has toward you and me, and the thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's why he allowed Jesus to be taken and put on the cross of Calvary for my sin and for your sin and the sin of the whole world. And so they took him and they hung him and they crucified him. And they put him in a barred tomb. But on the third day, the stone was rolled away. And the Bible says they came to anoint his body and he was gone. And they thought someone had taken him. But on the way back, the ladies encountered Jesus as they were going to tell the disciples that the tomb was empty. They encountered Jesus. But the disciples had to go and see for themselves. And so they ran and they saw that the tomb was empty. And do you know that the Bible never records again that the disciples went to the empty tomb? You know why? It was empty. Nothing to see. Because you see, Jesus, who was raised from the dead, showed himself to them, and they saw the scars in his hands and in his side and in his feet, and they knew that he was risen from the dead. And that is why those disciples went to their grave preaching Jesus, and they weren't afraid to preach Jesus even to the point of death, because they knew that the promise that he had fulfilled about himself, he could fulfill it for them. They knew that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. I have but one thing to say to you this morning. Jesus saves. I have no points that all start with the same letter. They don't all, no points at all rhyme. I just want to say to you this morning, Jesus saves. We have heard the joyful sound, as that old hymn says, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And he will save you. And it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, where you've come from, what you have entangled yourself in, Jesus saves. Two men looked through prison bars. One saw mud. The other saw stars. Here I am with one of our state senators. And this senator was instrumental in getting something started in our state prison. And you see in the background there a prisoner, and you see that he's shackled. We are at the Estelle unit in Huntsville, Texas. It's what's called a super max prison. It is the most secure of the secure presence. We had to go through so many steps to get in the room where we were at. I was concerned they weren't going to let us out. We had to go through gate after gate after gate. We'd go through one, they would lock it, and then they would unlock another one. We went through x-ray machines, and we were scanned, and this is a secure place. This man right here, on each side of his eyes, on one side, he has the word out. On the other side, he has the word law. He said, my desire was to be an outlaw. But he said, Jesus changed all that. Go ahead to the next one. You see him being baptized. And go to the next one. And here's another man that was baptized. And there's a third one, and I just didn't have a picture of him. And I got to play Amazing Grace on my harmonica while these men were baptized. Now, friends, I want to tell you something. I've experienced Jesus in this room so many times and in such great ways, but I want to share with you, I've never felt like I have been with Jesus more than whenever we were there. Those men, whenever I walked in, they had a guard on each side of them. And those guards had their nightstick and they had their mace. And these men had a belt around the middle and their hands were handcuffed to that belt. And whenever they would get up, the guards would take them over there to that horse trough that was there full of water for them to be baptized. They would take that loose, let them get into the water and be baptized. They got out, they dried off, and they were handcuffed back. And then after we got to speak to them, they were then carried back to their cell. Why? Because Jesus saves, and Jesus can reach through no matter what is going on in a person's life, no matter where you are. I tell you, I experienced Jesus there that day. And those men will tell you, and one of them will never get out. They will tell you that God has changed their life through the saving power of Jesus Christ. And the things that they were involved in, they never wanted to be involved in again. And it wasn't so they could get some special privileges, because as you could see, they didn't. Her name is Joyce. Some months back, Joyce joined Old River. And Joyce came to me one day and said the sermon, or she called and she said, I want to come by and tell you something. Because talking about being saved and about us witnessing, she wanted to share a story with me. Joyce is an interior designer. And she was looking for a particular lace or a particular design, and she hadn't found it yet, and she was looking all over for it. She was over in Houston, and she was off on some little side street way off over in Houston. Her cell phone rang, and a lady from Michigan said, Joyce, I think I have found the lace that will work for you. There's a lady that has a business. She and her husband has a business, and they're in Houston. And Joyce said, well, what's the address? And when she gave her the address, Joyce looked up, and directly across the street from where she was the address. She didn't even have to find another parking spot. She got out. She walked in to this place, and there was a lady who was born in China. Her name was Lillian. And over in the corner was a shrine built to Buddha. And she had a place where she worshiped there in her business, and she had one at home. But under the divine timing of God, Joyce and Lillian became friends. And they would go out to eat together. And whenever they would, Joyce would say, I always pray before I eat. And she said, can we join hands and pray? And so Lillian did that. And Lillian began to have questions. And Joyce would witness to her, and Lillian would turn her down. But one day, Joyce went on a trip to go to a market and to do a show with Lillian, and Lillian had asked her to help her with it. They were in Round Rock, Texas. And whenever she got there and they were visiting later after the show was over, Lillian told her, "I've been listening to some sermons. Been listening to a preacher on TV." And she said, and she has had more questions about Jesus. And Joyce said, "Lillian, are you ready to pray that prayer now?" She said, "Yes, I am." And so she reached over and she shared with her how you can receive Christ as Savior. And Lillian then prayed and received Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. They were both in tears at that point, and Lillian's husband walked in. And he looked at Lillian and he said, "You did it, didn't you?" And Lillian said, "Yes, I did." He said, "Good, good. You Christian? I'm Buddhist. We got all bases covered now." But God wasn't through. And Lillian called Joyce and she said, "I've been going to this Chinese Baptist church over in Sugar Land." And she said, "And I want to be baptized. And I want you to come and be there. And you won't be able to understand anything, but I want you to come, Joyce." So Joyce showed up that day, along with Lillian's husband, who by now had also become a Christian. But he hadn't finished the class yet, so he wasn't going to be baptized yet. But Lillian was getting baptized, and Lillian's sister and her husband had come, and they were in Sunday school. And Lillian got there for the worship service, and she sat down with them. And Lillian's sister just gave Joyce this mean look the whole time. They went out to eat, and this lady just didn't have anything to say, and she acted mad the whole time. Later, Joyce asked Lillian, "Was her sister okay?" She said, "Yes, she's just mad because her husband became a Christian in Sunday school." And later on, so did her sister. The one who was mad about it got glad about it. And then another one of Lillian's sisters got saved, and her husband got saved because Jesus saves. And that's why he came out of the tomb. She was born in 1937. Her first name was King. When the Chinese had babies, if it was a female, then the dad would take the female baby and take its life away. Whenever King was born, her dad was out fishing. And so he didn't get back in. And the tradition was, if a child made it through the first day and first night, then they got to live. And she got to live. But she was sold immediately to a family who, because of financial problems, ended up having to sell her back to her parents for a bag of rice. She went to school 3 days in her life. And she then, as she got older, she began to take care of both sets of parents, her adoptive parents and her parents. She ended up marrying and had four daughters and two sons. One of those daughters was Lillian. King developed cancer. And she came to visit her daughter in Houston, Texas, so she could go to MD Anderson. And while she was here, Lillian didn't know how her mother was going to take it, that she had become a Christian. But she began to talk to her, and she told her about it. And to her surprise, she was receptive to it. Lillian said, "I didn't know at the time, but the Holy Spirit was dealing with my mom as well." And would you believe that Lillian's mother raised worshiping idols, developed cancer, so God could bring her to the United States so that she could find out that Jesus saves. She developed dementia after that. It started in on her, and she had a stroke. But she would go to church with Lillian, and she couldn't say anything except just to pat her chest like this and say, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." Would you say that with me? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Jesus saves. Dan and I will be moving this year. And we're moving over to the middle of the county. And if you were to go on, go east on I-10 and come to FM 563, connects Anahuac and Liberty, 3 miles north of the freeway, you'll find Lake Charlotte Road. It turns off to the west. If you go a mile down that road, it'll make a hard right-hand turn, go across a little gully, come back up, and you'll see a little five-acre piece of land that's been cleared. And there, off to one side, standing alone, is a magnolia tree. Recently, I had the privilege of standing there underneath that magnolia tree. And a man that I have known professionally for a number of years, I had the opportunity of visiting with him. And I said to him, "Tell me your Jesus story." And he's looked at me and said, I don't have one. He said, "But I need God in my life, Danny." And I had the opportunity right there under that magnolia tree to share with him the wonderful love of Jesus. And he prayed and received Christ into his heart. And then just a few weeks ago, he and his wife came down, both came down for baptism. And in just a few weeks, they're going to be baptized here. Maybe someday you'll drive by and you'll see that magnolia tree. And it'll make you wonder, have I had a magnolia tree experience? What magnolia tree experience have you had in your life? Your Jesus story. Now, I don't know if you have a Jesus story or not, but you know what? You can. Why do you think you're here this morning? You just happen to show up. We just happen to preach on the wonderful love of God and how he thinks about you and what he thinks toward you and why he did all the things that he did and how he came out of that tomb on the third day to let you know that evil will not have the last word. Isn't this interesting timing that you would be here this morning? Thursday, I was finishing up mentoring at the Barbers Hill Elementary School South. And as I was finishing up and about to walk out, I got a text from my secretary, and it said, "I'm going to be late this morning. I have a flat tire. I've called Joel to come and get me." So I called her, and I said, "Kathy, I'll change the tire. Joel doesn't have to drive all the way back from work." I said, "Where are you?" She said, "Well, I just dropped my daughter off at Elementary South, and I'm in the parking lot there." I just hung up the phone because I was looking at her car. Went over and changed the tire. And Joel, you owe me. And isn't that interesting timing? I'm on the phone. I look up, and there she is. Isn't this interesting timing? You look up here this morning, and there he was for you. And there he came out for you. I invite you to bow in prayer.
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us for Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church. If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week for another edition of Sharpening Our Souls.